Usually when we talk about a medical diagnosis, there's this underlying expectation of precision. It feels almost like engineering.
Right,
Yeah.
like it's just a breaking part.
Exactly. You break your arm, the x-ray shows that stark, jagged white line on the film, and the doctor just points to it and says, there it is, that's the problem.
It's a very comforting way to view the world, honestly. We inherently prefer reality to be, well, visible, categorized, and binary, broken or not broken.
But then you step into the world of advanced propulsion, and suddenly that x-ray machine is just useless.
Yeah, completely useless.
If you're listening to this deep dive right now, chances are you're used to thinking about flying cars or even those like supposedly impossible UFO maneuvers strictly as an engineering problem. We all do it, right?
We do. We assume the future of flight is just about building a bigger rocket or, I don't know, finding a more volatile combustion fuel.
Or inventing some crazy strong titanium alloy. We keep looking for the jagged white line of traditional physics. We just want a bigger engine with a bigger exhaust pipe.
Exactly. But what if those impossible physics-defying maneuvers don't rely on engines at all?
Which brings us to our mission today. We are unpacking a theoretical framework based on notes and a paper by JXO titled Foundations of Geometric Propulsion. And I want to assure you, this isn't late night science fiction speculation.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It is a strict mathematical taxonomy called the conditional collapse theory, or ODE-CCT.
Right. And it basically describes how fundamental geometric principles can enable advanced propulsion technology. It suggests you can build a theoretical craft using pure geometry.
EXO's approach requires a complete, like, paradigm shift in how we view the universe. The foundational premise of this paper is that reality is fundamentally coded by a very simple equation.
And that equation is what exactly?
It's basically a geometric shape multiplied by a specific mathematical constant equals physical dynamics.
Okay, let's slow down and really unpack that. Because before we can talk about how a craft lifts off the ground, we have to understand this basic equation of how reality is rendered. The paper calls these constants coupling numbers. What are we actually talking about here?
So consider a geometric primitive. That's a stationary abstract structure, a sphere, a parabola, a light cone.
Just a shape on a chalkboard, basically.
Right. On its own, in a vacuum, it's just a mathematical shape, doesn't do anything. But the universe pairs these shapes with scalar constants, which are the coupling numbers.
And when you combine them.
When you multiply the primitive by its assigned coupling number, the combination generates the actual physical laws we live by.
The paper uses the light cone as the baseline example for this, right?
Yeah, a perfect place to start. The light cone is just a geometric concept.
Hmm.
But when the universe couples that specific geometry with the constant C,
Specific light.
exactly the speed of light, when those couple, it evolves into a tangible physical reality. It generates what physicists call Minkowski space-time.
Wait, Minkowski space-time. That's basically just the fancy physics term for the four-dimensional grid where cause always happens before the effect, right? It's the arena where our timeline plays out.
That's a great way to summarize it. The geometry of the light cone plus the constant of the speed of light dictates that cause must precede effect. It establishes the cosmic speed limit.
The shape and the number create the physics.
Yes.
So if I'm visualizing this for everyone listening, the geometry is kind of like a static musical instrument, let's say a guitar. It has the physical potential for sound, but it's just sitting there on a stand.
I like that.
And the coupling number is the musician. Only when that specific musician picks up that specific guitar do you get the actual music, which in our universe is the physical dynamics of reality.
That analogy captures the mechanism perfectly. And connecting this to the engineering challenge of advanced propulsion, the revelation is that a hyper-advanced craft isn't trying to build a better guitar.
So what is it doing?
Advanced propulsion is simply the art of altering the musician. If you can locally change that coupling number, you change the music.
You're turning a mathematical knob to rewrite local physics. Okay, so if we want to build this craft, step one is obvious, right? We have to get off the ground. Overcoming gravity is the first engineering hurdle. How do we turn the knob to achieve lift?
To conquer gravity, you have to look at the first geometric primitive in EXO's taxonomy, which is the sphere.
Okay, the sphere.
In standard physics, when you take the primitive geometry of a sphere and couple it with big G Newton's gravitational constant, it evolves into the inverse square law of gravity.
Which is the baseline for planetary gravity. It's the reason our feet stay on the floor and why dropping your phone, shatters the screen.
Precisely. So for a craft to lift off the ground without giant thrusters pushing downwards, it has to counteract that specific coupling of the sphere in Big G.
But how do you actually do that physically? I mean, you can't just paint a sphere on the side of a titanium hull and expect to float. EXO mentions the craft creates a local effective G using a nested sphere cascade.
Right. The cascade.
Are we talking about the physical hull constantly morphing, or is this happening on an electromagnetic level?
The paper implies the use of internal dynamic architecture.
Mm.
It's likely driven by advanced metamaterials or electromagnetic fields that form a nested, cascading spherical geometry within the craft's metric.
And that changes the math.
Exactly. By generating this specific nested shape, the system alters the effective coupling number.
Huh.
Inside that specific volume, Big G drops to zero or even goes negative.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which mathematically reduces the craft's inertial mass.
I have to pause here because the implications are just staggering. If we reduce G to zero inside the craft, we aren't just resisting gravity. Like, a helicopter resists gravity by aggressively beating the air downwards with its rotors.
Right, that's just aerodynamic force.
But with a nested sphere cascade, aren't we literally putting the ship inside a bespoke physics bubble where the Earth's gravitational pull simply doesn't exist?
It's even more absolute than that. A helicopter uses mechanical force to fight the constant. This craft manipulates the underlying equation so the constant effectively disappears.
That is wild.
Inside that localized bubble, as far as the fabric of the universe is concerned, gravity is no longer a factor.
Okay, so we've canceled gravity using the sphere. We are floating, but floating isn't controlled hovering. If you just cancel gravity, you're essentially adrift, falling upwards or sideways based on whatever momentum you had. How do we stabilize?
That engineering challenge leads to the second shape, the parabola.
Okay, the parabola.
In standard physical models, when you couple a parabola with local gravitational acceleration little g, the 9.8 meters per second squared we feel here on Earth, it governs projectile motion. It defines ballistic trajectories.
Like throwing a baseball. It follows that parabolic arc dictated by local gravity.
Exactly.
But we don't want our billion-dollar craft to act like a thrown baseball. We want a silent, rock-solid hover.
To achieve that motionless hover, the math dictates that the craft must replace the little g coupling number with what EXO calls a phantom term.
A phantom term? I know you're thinking at home because I'm thinking it too. That sounds like we're veering into ghost hunting. Where does a phantom mathematical term come from?
It's derived from quantum vacuum pressure.
Oh, okay.
The details are mathematically dense, but conceptually, if you introduce this quantum phantom term, the parabolic geometry degenerates. It mathematically flattens out from a curved arc into a perfectly straight line.
A straight line.
Right. And translated into physical dynamics, that straight line represents a stationary hover. No jets, no displaced air, just geometric stabilization.
So we use the sphere to cancel Earth's overall pull, getting us off the ground. Then we use the parabola, modified by vacuum pressure, to flatten our trajectory and park the ship midair.
That's the baseline, yes.
That covers lift and stability. But let's be real, the most famous stories about these hypothetical craft aren't just about hovering. It's the impossible speeds. It's the reports of craft darting across the sky and disappearing from radar without a sonic boom.
How does geometry explain evasion and speed?
That requires moving into the more exotic geometries of the framework, specifically the saddle, or mathematically, a hyperbolic paraboloid.
And the coupling number for the saddle is the Lorentz factor, right? The Greek letter gamma.
Yes, gamma. The Lorentz factor is the bedrock of special relativity. It dictates how time dilates and how space compresses as an object approaches the speed of light.
Okay.
When the saddle geometry is coupled with gamma, it generates hyperbolic relativistic physics.
So if the parabola flattens our trajectory and we want to jump instantaneously across the sky, we need a geometry that literally folds space. Is that what the saddle does when we manipulate the Lorentz factor? Exactly. By abruptly switching its gamma value locally, the craft creates what the paper terms a saddle singularity in the local metric. It essentially compresses the space directly ahead of it.
Let me try to visualize this. Instead of a speedboat dragging itself across the surface of a lake, taking time to cover the distance, the craft is more like a surfer who manages to compress the wave of water ahead of their board.
That works.
Or maybe it's like taking a piece of paper with two dots on it, and instead of drawing a line between them, you just fold the paper so the dots touch.
The folded paper analogy is highly accurate for a saddle singularity. Because space is compressed locally, An observer on the ground or a radar operator tracking the object doesn't see smooth acceleration.
They just see it jump.
Right. To our standard physics viewpoint, the craft appears to instantly jump or simply vanish from one point and reappear at another.
Because it's not moving through space in the traditional sense, it's changing the geometry of the space it occupies. That perfectly explains the radar disappearing axis.
It does.
But wait, even if you fold space, you still need directional propulsion. You need thrust. If we aren't burning jet fuel, how is this thing physically pushing itself forward?
The thrust mechanism relies on the fourth geometric primitive, which is the annulus. Imagine two concentric circles with a gap between them.
Okay, got it. And the coupling number here is that gap, right? The radial gap, delta.
Correct. When you couple the annulus geometry with a microscopic radial gap, you begin to tap into the Casimir effect.
Oh, man. I think we need to spend a minute on the Casimir effect, because this is where the physics gets incredibly strange. We're talking about quantum vacuum fluctuations, right? The idea that empty space isn't actually empty.
Far from it. The quantum vacuum is constantly boiling with virtual particles popping in and out of existence.
Ether all the time.
Right. And the Casimir effect demonstrates that if you place two uncharged conductive plates incredibly close together, that microscopic delta R gap, the vacuum fluctuations outside the plates are stronger than the ones inside the gap.
And that creates a push.
Yes, this differential pushes the plates together. It provides a tangible, measurable, attractive force per unit area.
Okay, I understand how that pulls two microscopic plates together. But to fly a ship, we need to push forward. We need directional thrust, not just a quantum vice grip. How do we pull usable energy out of a vacuum?
This is where EXO's theoretical engineering interfaces with the mathematics. The paper proposes actively modulating that delta R gap using piezoelectric actuators.
Piezoelectric materials, those are materials that change shape or expand when you run an electrical current through them, right? Like the crystal in a digital watch.
Exactly right. By using those actuators to rapidly change the width of the gap at specific resonant frequencies, the Casimir force can be manipulated.
So you change the push.
Right. Instead of just an attractive squeeze, the force can be made repulsive or oscillatory.
Yeah.
By controlling that oscillation, the craft extracts a directional propulsive force directly from the quantum vacuum.
A true reactionless drive. You are literally pushing off the empty space of the universe. It's silent, it requires no combustible fuel, and it works flawlessly in the vacuum of deep space.
Which neatly aligns with the observable characteristics frequently described in accounts of anomalous aerospace phenomena.
Yeah, no kidding. Here is the massive roadblock my brain keeps hitting, though. We have these incredible mathematical engines. We tweak the sphere to cancel gravity. We flatten the parabola to hover. We fold the saddle to jump. And we pulse the annulus to generate thrust.
Yes, all those geometries.
But humans can't manually fly this. Our biological reaction times are way too slow to shift reality's geometry at relativistic speeds. A human pilot with a joystick would rip the ship apart in a microsecond. How does the craft actually navigate this shifting reality?
The human limitation is the crux of the problem. And to solve it, EXO brings back the fifth primitive, the light cone, coupled with C, the speed of light.
To protect the ship.
Yes. To achieve these maneuvers without destroying the ship, you have to locally tilt the light cone, creating what's known as an Alcubierre warp metric.
An Alcubierre metric, that's the theoretical concept where space contracts ahead of the ship and expands behind it, moving the bubble of space itself faster than light, while the ship inside sits perfectly still.
That's the mechanism. But to orchestrate the rapid switching between the sphere, parabola, saddle, and annulus within that warp bubble, the craft relies on the overarching framework of the paper.
The ODECCT framework.
Right, the conditional collapse theory. EXO theorizes that the ship must operate as an autonomous AI.
But we aren't talking about a generative text AI or a self-driving car algorithm, are we?
No, not at all. It's an automaton navigating a hyperdimensional theory space. It operates by continuously posing thermodynamic questions to its environment in order to minimize Shannon entropy.
Let me stop you there. Shannon entropy. In computer science and thermodynamics, Shannon entropy is basically a measure of randomness or missing information within a system. High entropy means high uncertainty.
Precisely. For the craft to survive, the AI needs to reduce uncertainty about its physical state to absolute zero before activating the next physical law.
How does it do that fast enough?
To do this, it asks rapid-fire binary questions of the environment.
Yeah.
Questions like, is the Casimir force currently repulsive on the forward hull? Or, is our current acceleration less than what standard Earth gravity would dictate?
Oh, wow. I think I see it. The AI isn't steering the ship by pulling back on a physical throttle. It's playing a microscopic, million times a second game of 20 questions with the universe itself.
Exactly.
It asks, am I falling? The universe answers, yes. The AI responds, okay, calculate the phantom term, switch to the parabola geometry, and cancel local G.
The 20 questions analogy is mechanically perfect. Every computation the AI performs requires thermodynamic work. It constantly evaluates the collapse potential of every possible question, meaning how much concrete information it gains per unit of energy spent.
Right.
Based on those answers, it collapses the probability space and activates the specific geometric primitive required for that exact microsecond of flight. It slides the craft seamlessly between different physical laws, entirely autonomously.
It's not flying. It is constantly negotiating its physical reality with the universe. But if this AI is playing millions of rounds of 20 questions every second and, you know, violently shifting the geometry of space around it, what does that look like to us, standing on the ground looking up? If this is real, there has to be observable proof.
There is, and it's detailed in ExoCCT stability theorem. For a craft manipulating geometry to remain observable to us in standard space-time for more than a fraction of a second, its mathematical processes can't be purely chaotic.
They have to stabilize somehow.
Right. The ordinary differential equations, the ODEs running the system, have to settle into what dynamicists call limit cycles.
A limit cycle, like a chaotic system finally finding a stable loop. I'm picturing a pendulum that's been swinging wildly, suddenly settling into a steady rhythmic rhythm.
The pendulum is a great visual. If the AI didn't find a stable limit cycle, the thermodynamic entropy of its trajectory would spiral out of control, and it would be forced to collapse into a completely different geometric primitive just to avoid destruction.
That makes sense.
What makes EXO's paper so compelling is how these purely mathematical limit cycles map flawlessly onto decades of unexplained aviation reports.
Wait, really? Give me an example of how the math matches the lore.
Consider the sphere limit cycle. When the AI stabilizes the effective G geometry to counteract gravity, the equations predict that the craft won't sit perfectly still. It will oscillate vertically at a fixed altitude.
A hover with a bounce. You read UFO reports, and witnesses constantly describe that. The object was hovering over the trees, but it was bobbing up and down like a small boat on choppy water.
It's a common thread. Or take the saddle lemon cycle. When the craft stabilizes a series of periodic Lorentz boosts to compress space, the geometric byproduct is a visual wobble.
The famous falling leaf motion, the way these objects are said to tumble or drift back and forth as they drop in altitude.
Exactly. And when we look at the light cone limit cycle, as the Alcubierre warp bubble expands and contracts to maintain thermodynamic stability, it generates a very specific visual signature, which is a brightly flashing or pulsing light.
I am blown away by this. So all of those erratic, bizarre movements that skeptics point to as proof that eyewitnesses are crazy, the wobbling, the bouncing, the strobing lights, they aren't pilot errors.
No, they aren't.
They aren't signs of a failing mechanical engine. They are the exact required mathematical limit cycles of reality stabilizing around the hull of the ship.
They are the visual exhaust of a geometric engine. And because they interact with our universe, EXO provides concrete experimental signatures we can look for to prove this framework.
Like what? How do we test it?
If a craft is actively using the sphere primitive, we should be able to measure an anomalous measurable disruption in local gravity by comparing the tick rates of highly sensitive atomic clocks placed near a sighting site.
Because gravity directly affects the flow of time. Stronger gravity, slower time.
Exactly. If the craft is utilizing the parabola, a Doppler radar system would record ballistic arcs happening at hypersonic speeds, but microphones would record absolutely no sonic booms because the craft isn't mechanically pushing air out of its way.
Right, it's just following the geometry.
And if it's using the saddle, we could measure extreme time dilation gradients across the physical length of the hull using optical combs.
Which are basically incredibly precise lasers used to measure light frequencies.
Yes, and for the annulus, a standard radio telescope should pick up a distinct burst of broadband electromagnetic noise caused by the rapid Casimir switching.
We actually possess the technological tools to measure the fingerprints of geometric propulsion right now. We just haven't known exactly what we were looking for.
We've spent 70 years looking to the skies for thermal jet exhaust and aerodynamic heat signatures, when the math suggests we should have been looking for the thermodynamic signatures of geometric stabilization.
So if you are listening to this right now, what does this all mean for you? I think the most vital takeaway from this deep dive is a total paradigm shift in how we view the future of technology. Describing how these geometric principles enable advanced propulsion technology really forces us to abandon the idea of pushing against the universe. Whether we are trying to build flying cars or achieve interstellar travel, the future isn't an engineering problem of brute force. It is a geometric challenge.
It requires a profound leap in our physics. We have to stop building better combustion chambers and start learning how to dynamically rewrite the local rules of reality.
By dynamically altering the coupling numbers of the sphere, the parabola, the saddle, the annulus, and the light cone, a theoretical craft can seamlessly slide between entirely different physical laws. It doesn't fight the music of the universe, it just plays its own song.
And it accomplishes this through an incredibly elegant minimization of uncertainty, navigating theory space rather than just physical space. It's a breathtaking view of what physics could be.
It truly is. It takes the perceived magic out of advanced propulsion and replaces it with rigorous mathematics, which, in a way, is infinitely more magical. But it leaves me with one final, deeply provocative thought to send you all off with.
Oh, was that?
Well, if the rigid physical laws of our universe are ultimately just geometric shapes multiplied by mathematical coupling numbers, and if a hyper-advanced craft can change those numbers on the fly, it implies that our fixed universe isn't fixed at all.
That we're just seeing one version of it.
Exactly. We are simply experiencing the factory default settings of reality. It makes you wonder, if geometry truly dictates physics, could humanity one day learn to alter the coupling number of physical space just by changing its architecture?
Wow.
Could the specific geometric angles of your living room walls negate gravity? Until next time, keep questioning your reality. And remember, sometimes the jagged white line you're furiously searching for isn't the answer. It's just a shape waiting to be bent.